bisexual man in Chicago. Anybody explain Sam's Cat? Okay, I'll skip. We simultaneously recruited drug using. People use drugs, and then men who had sex with men, regardless of drug use. And a secondary sample of their sex partners, and then sex partners of the sex partners. We basically recruited these two groups, and then they were asked to recruit sex partners, and then their sex partners were asked to recruit sex partners. The slides I ripped off from Mark, I told him I was doing it. I copped to it. Respondent-driven sampling is a variant of chain referral sampling. You start with non-randomly selected seeds, just people you think that can recruit the people you want. And then they receive some coupons. They go out and recruit the number of coupons you give them, typically 3, but that's not a magic number. And then from there on, all the recruiting is done by people who enroll in the study, who, after they enroll and do the interview, get 3 coupons themselves. Or, in this case, it was 3 coupons to recruit other men who had sex with men or drug users, a couple coupons to recruit sex partners, and so on. And the idea of recruitment is that you limit the number of people that any one person can recruit, which stretches your recruiting waves out. And eventually, the people who come into your study are independent of the people who began the recruiting, independent of the seeds. This is a map of Chicago and some of its suburbs. Blue area is downtown. We began recruiting on the south, in South Chicago, which is the name of a community area, on the far southeast side of the city, and moved to uptown on the north side, to Humboldt Park on the north, near northwest side, and then right at the end of this wave, we began on the west side. And all of those links, actually, somebody from the south side went, who was connected to uptown, started that link. So really all started out of the south side. And then we added a couple more seeds at each of the sites outside of South Chicago. This is our southeast side field station. That area is the largest population groups, African American, but there's also a fair number of Latinos and whites in the area. Humboldt Park, this area is mostly Puerto Rican and Mexican. And uptown is in a gentrifying neighborhood, but the largest group of poor folks in that neighborhood is African American. There's a lot of social services on the north side. We began with 6 seeds, and they ended up, well, they recruited more than 1,062, but we ended up with 1,062 people who were eligible and completed data collection. This is just a diagram of seeds. This is one seed here, another seed here, and this is all the people they recruited, to give you some sense. Now, the sample was 61% male, 72% African American, 20% Latino. The median age was 44, and it was a very poor sample. 3/4 of the people had monthly incomes under $500. When people enrolled, 71% enrolled as either a drug user or a man who had sex with men, 20% as sex partners, and then the rest is sex partners of sex partners. But 85% of that sample could have qualified as a drug user. In other words, they used heroin, cocaine, methamphetamine, or injected some illicit drug in the last 30 days. Looked at drug use. Crack was a predominant drug, followed by heroin. Like many cities in the United States, the crack epidemic sort of left public consciousness, but it never left town, so... And methamphetamine use is uncommon in Chicago, and it's mainly concentrated in white, more middle-class men who have sex with men on the north side. 85% of the men were sexually active despite all this drug use and their advanced age of... 23% of all men reported sex with a man, and of them, sort of amazingly, 3/4 said they also had sex with women. So that was one of our findings. Pretty consistent with the literature, African American men were more likely than Latinos to report having sex with both men and women. And there were too few white males to put up any stats there. It would have been meaningless. Now, whether that's actually more behavior or a willingness to disclose, I don't know. But we did use audio computer assisted self-interviewing, which is one reason I think we have this much disclosure of a behavior that in a face-to-face interview might not have been admitted. I have to explain a little about before I put the date up. We asked people about the last time they had sex with their 3 most recent partners. But if they had a main sex partner, an IDU partner, or if it was a man who had a female partner, and one of them, and they weren't in the most recent 3, then we also asked about them. Now, unlike a lot of surveys, we didn't ask all these people, okay, so did you or how often did you have unprotected sex in the last 6 months? So some of this is like the most recent sex. But then people who had more than 3 sex partners did get asked that, okay, with all the partners you had, did you do any of these things? So it's nice in some ways, but it makes it a little hard to compare with the standard. What did you do in the last 6 months, or what did you do the last time you had sex? And actually, this we'll expect, because this is a risky group with a lot of partners, prevalence is going to be higher in this group. But this measure, when you're only asking about last time, is going to be on the conservative side. It would be lower than if you had asked everybody about the last 6 months. So when we look at anal sex, we find it's common. With men who have sex with men and women, anal sex is common with both their male and female partners. We see that last time group, over half, 88% of the people with more than 3 sex partners in the last 6 months. Anal sex with a woman was fairly common for asking only about last time, and then this risky group, 76% said they had anal sex with a woman. 19% at last time said they had anal sex with both a man and a female among their recent partners. In this group, 66% had inserted anal sex with another man and anal sex with a woman. And 35% had bottomed with a man and had anal sex with a woman. Men who have sex with men and women are also having risky sex with female partners, other risky sex practices. So most had vaginal sex, most to all in the second group. Vaginal and anal with a man was common. And then a good portion of two groups certainly had a lot of female partners, but for the last, we just talked about the last 3 or 4 or 5 partners, quite a few. Men reported 2 or more female partners. So the picture here isn't one of mainly men who have sex with men, and then once in a while they have a female partner. They had a lot of female partners. We look at type of anal sex and condom use. This is a little busy, this slide. But the point here is if they had conservative anal sex with a male, most of them did not use a sex with no condom, with a male partner. The same sort of thing with women. When they had inserted anal sex with a woman, they usually did not wear a condom. Also, that is true. Forget this problem. I should have erased it. In our run through this morning, it got voted down. So. sex was associated with stimulant use, both crack cocaine and methamphetamine, and heroin actually looked protective, but that probably won't be entering into anyone's interventions. Now, for look at, like, who are these men having anal sex with among their female partners? And there were a few things that predicted that. They're more likely to have, men who had sex with men were more likely to have anal sex. Let me start over here. Women who had anal sex with men were more likely to have anal sex with a partner who was, they considered a primary or main part. More likely to have anal sex with a partner that they gave money or drugs for sex. It's sort of funny, but there's a lot of this is actually reciprocal. The people know each other, and sometimes one person's helping the other one out, and it goes in both directions. These are not women, I think, out on a male stroll looking for action. No, it's built into relationships. Younger age. Met a partner. They've known a partner a little while, at least 6 months, less than 5 years. Education beyond high school. Bisexual identity and this multivariate model was not associated with anal sex, but bisexual behavior by a woman was associated. Actually, about half of the women in the sample self-identified as bisexual. And injecting drugs did not hold up in a multivariate analysis as a predictor of anal sex with men. When we look at partner types, men who had sex with men, almost half reported having a female partner who was a main partner. And only 22% said they had a male partner who was a main partner. But then if you look down here, a lot of it was not what you might think of sex or stranger sex with males, with their male partners. Most of it was with friends and acquaintances. And then finally, there was a fair amount of, you know, if not real high, it's certainly trading sex for selling sex doesn't predict, is not the, you know, why these men are having sex with men for a lot of them. But it was for some of them. Control these little circles. You have to remember you had those. I just want to acknowledge the study participants at our sites, the staff at our field station, and the other investigators that can't be here today, including David McKernan was ill. Been here if he could have.